If you would, look with me in your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy, to chapter 1. The book of 2 Timothy, and in chapter 1, some of the words of that last hymn was, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor." I hope we all realize that. I know we don't realize it fully, but we maybe in part realize how much we are a debtor under the grace of our God. I hope we can see that this morning in the Word of God. In 2 Timothy, and in chapter 1, I'll begin in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And I just want to emphasize the word "in Christ Jesus." That's very important in our message today, "in Christ Jesus." Verse 2, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." If you noticed in your bulletin, our subject is "Times Eternal." And just by reading that in the bulletin, you might think that we're going to be speaking about future events, end time events, eschatology, but we're going in the opposite direction. We're going to look at things that were before the beginning of the world. Times eternal. Since the beginning of time, mankind has always been a creature of time. Everything in our life is judged upon past, present, or future. We cannot get through a day without being regulated by time. And time did have a beginning. We know that there was the beginning, there was the evening and the morning, that was the first day. And time did have a beginning. But how do we express eternity before time? It's hard to express eternity before time. Many times we speak of eternity past, and we know what we're speaking of, I guess, in that phrase, but really it makes no sense because eternity is it all. What we would call past, present, and future, it's all one eternal thing. There actually is no eternity past. It's just eternity. And we don't even know how to deal with it without using words and phrases that have to do with time. But how can we express before Genesis 1:1, before the creation of the world, before there was time, how can we express that? Well, we have an answer, I guess, in our text, the way the scripture is translated for us in verse 9, the last words, simply before the world began. Before the world began. I think the translators of our Bible were wise in using those words, before the world began. But if you were to read verse 9 in the original, the words that they translated before the world began actually mean before time's eternal. Before time's eternal. That's the literal translation of those last words in verse 9. And we have the same thing in the book of Titus and in chapter 1. And in verse 2, you have that same phrase, before the world began. And it literally means before time's eternal. Now, we cannot comprehend time's eternal. Therefore, I do think the translators translated correctly here for our understanding, before the world began. Before the world began. I want you to notice our text, and I'm going to deal first with briefly with verse 8 and then verse 9. Paul's instructions to Timothy. And what a blessing this must have been for Timothy, a young preacher, to have someone such as the Apostle Paul to give him instructions and advice. And what a blessing that must have been to Timothy. I remember when I first started preaching, what a blessing it was to be around older preachers and learn from them. Notice what he told him. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You remember Paul said in the book of Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The testimony, the witness, the words of our Lord. May God help us never to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the word of God, but always speak of it and declare it as it is, unashamedly. Just preach the word, teach the word, speak the word. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Paul knew that he and the apostles were counted as the offscouring of the earth. Paul was looked down upon and as just nothing in the eyes of the world, and he now is in prison. And he said, don't be ashamed of me either. Don't be ashamed of your association with me. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. The false gospel, there is another gospel, has no afflictions at all associated with it. But the true gospel does. It did during the days of Jesus Christ and the apostles, and it still does today. But be thou a partaker of it. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. As he mentions God here in the last of verse 8, notice what he has to say to Timothy about God. And it's something that everyone needs to learn about God. Number one, he said, it's God that saved us. That's important to know. That's important to know. Again, easy to overlook here. But he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. And he warns Timothy here about relying upon the works of the flesh. He said, God did not save us nor call us according to our works. The word according here is used twice in verse 9. And as I've explained on many different occasions, this word means in agreement with. When things are in accord, they agree. And he tells Timothy that God did not call us, save us and call us in agreement to our works. But this salvation and divine holy calling was in agreement to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, I mentioned earlier in the words in verse 1, in Christ, and you find them here again in verse 9. And you'll notice that God's purpose and grace for us as individuals was given unto us in our representative, our federal head, in Christ Jesus. And it was given unto us not in time, but before time. Before time. Before the world began. God's people need to think. Just think. Think, if you would, in verse 9. Of God's own purpose and grace being given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What happened here, what occurred here in this giving of his purpose and grace occurred before you and I had a beginning. We did not have a being. The world had not yet been created. We existed only in the mind and in the purpose of God. This is in the times eternal. But in these times eternal, there were things that were going on. Things that were happening. Transactions were taking place. Agreements were being made between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we refer to these as the everlasting or eternal covenant of grace. Before the world began, God's purpose in our salvation, in our redemption, for our lives, and for our eternity, God's grace was given unto us in Christ Jesus. And again, before the world began. And notice this purpose of God and the grace of God. It is not stated that it was given to Christ Jesus. It said it was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. If you do not know yet, you ought to learn here that if you are a beneficiary of the grace of God and his eternal purpose in redemption, that you must have been in Christ Jesus before the world began. This was given unto us before the world began. Before you and I were conceived in our mother's womb, we were the objects of God's grace and love. God knew us and bestowed His purpose and grace upon us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Again, have you ever just dwelt upon that thought that God knew me before, in the beginning, He created the heaven and the earth? Look in the book of Jeremiah, if you would. The book of Jeremiah, and what's true here with Jeremiah is true of all people, and especially and in a special way for God's people. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and in verse 5, the Lord speaks to Jeremiah and said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Well, we could point out several things here. First of all, I believe all conceptions and births are an act of God. God said, "I formed thee in the belly." But before that, He said, before that occurred, He said, "I knew thee." Before He had an existence, before there was the conception, before He had a being, before I formed thee in the belly, He said, "I knew thee." That's a blessed thought. God knew before this everything about you and I. We know, according to the book of Revelation, I believe it's in chapter 17, that the Lamb's book of life was written before the foundation of the world. Back in those times eternal, there were names entered into the book of life. God said, I knew you. I knew you. In our text, it speaks about before the world began are those times eternal. And again, the two key words in 2 Timothy 1:9 are in Christ. In Christ. God's purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Notice that the Father gave us something in Christ before the world began. In Ephesians and in chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Notice this, in Christ. In Christ. Here's that word "according" again. This was in agreement with divine election. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I mentioned there were things going on before the beginning of the world. In these times eternal, there were transactions taking place. Here is one of them in verse 4. When God the Father chose us in Christ Jesus, and according to verse 4, this occurred before the foundation of the world. Now, there are many today that would be very quick to tell you that this matter of election, God choosing, occurred when you believed. Many would tell you that that's when your name was entered into the book of life. But the question that always needs to be answered is, what saith the Scripture? To be blunt, I really do not care what others say. I care about what God's Word says. According as He has chosen us in Him. In verse 3, in the last words, you have in Christ. In verse 4, you have the words in Him. In Him. We know that this choosing us in Him was God choosing us to salvation. How do I know that? Well, read what it says in verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. What was the purpose of this choosing? You know, that little word "that" indicates a purpose is about to be stated concerning what had just been previously stated. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy. Is that not salvation? Is that not salvation? Without salvation, there is no holiness. In Christ is only holiness, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. You notice the words "in love" in verse 4. Bible scholars are sort of in a quandary here. You can read some and they'll say that verse 4 should have a period after the word "him" and the words "in love" with verse 5. Either way, if it's like it is or if it's that in that manner, it does not matter to me. I know it was in love He predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. God's purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I said it involves salvation because we know, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:13, that God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Paul writes here in Ephesians 1, He hath chosen us in Him and in Christ. Choosing us in Christ and giving us to Christ are one and the same thing. You might remember in John chapter 17 and in verse 6, Jesus said, "Thine they were, and Thou gavest them to Me." When did that take place? In times eternal. In times eternal. As it stated here in Ephesians 1 verse 4, it occurred before the foundation of the world. If you turn to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17. In verse 2, as Jesus prays to His Father, He said, "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh." There's that little word "that" again. Why? that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. A transaction took place when God the Father gave unto the Son certain individuals. These were given to Christ. And again, in verse 2 of John 17, Jesus is given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, if you want to read a guarantee, if you go back to John chapter 6, I refer to this as a guarantee. A guarantee that all of those that were given to Jesus Christ will have that eternal life. In John 6 and in verse 37, the words of Jesus, he speaks here of all that the Father giveth me, and he says, all of these shall come to me. They're all going to come. It's all because of God's purpose and God's grace. All that the Father giveth me shall come. It's not that Jesus is going to hope that they come or beg them to come. He says they're coming. They're coming. And I know that every individual is not included in this. All of Adam's race is not included in this. How do I know that? Because all do not come to Christ. If all come to Christ, then hell's empty and will remain empty. All do not come to Christ. Remember John chapter 5, verse 40? Jesus told some, you will not come to me. He told some in John chapter 8, you're going to die in your sins. He told some, you are your father, the devil. John 6, verse 37 is a guarantee given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Verse 38. He tells us why he came down from heaven. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Well, would you like to just stop and ask here, Jesus, what is the Father's will that you came to do? Here would be his reply. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I should raise it up again at the last day. In our text, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 9, Paul states that God's purpose and grace was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In Ephesians 1:4, as we have read, we are told that God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. In John 6 and in verse 37, we were told all of these that the Father gave to the Son are going to come unto him. Several major biblical doctrines are revealed here unto us. Number one is God's sovereignty. Before the world began, in those times eternal, God, under no restrictions or obligation, did something. It has eternal consequence for you and I. And it's stated in verse 9. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began, God chose us in Jesus Christ. The biblical doctrine of divine election. He chose us in Christ with the purpose, as is stated in Ephesians 1:4, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Look at John 6 again, if you would. Guess I should have mentioned this while I was there in verse 37. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." There is our preservation, our eternal security. For no reason will Jesus cast us out. Verse 39. "This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." Now he draws a contrast here between losing some of these that the Father has given him or raising them up again at the last day. He says, "The Father's will which has sent me, that all of these he has given to me, I should lose nothing, not a one of them. But it is the Father's will that I should raise it up again at the last day." And in verse 40, "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now in verse 39 and in verse 40, you have this raising up at the last day. Here is the promise that all of these that were given unto Jesus Christ will have a part in the first resurrection. If you notice Revelation 20, in Revelation and in chapter 20, and in verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now notice the first words of verse 6. Blessed and holy. Blessed and holy. Well, keeping those words in mind, I go back to Ephesians 1 again. Verse 3 begins with the word blessed. 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 Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Blessed and holy. Blessed and holy. Before anything existed other than God, this was assured and guaranteed by God when he gave us to his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, verse 4, and I know people do not believe this. Again, that has no effect upon me whatsoever. It says, "He hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The purpose being that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, if that applies to every individual, every human being, we have a God who is defeated in His purpose. And I can never believe that. I can never believe that. Our text, and I'll close, tells us concerning God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Sometimes we speak of that effectual call. Well, it is effectual because Jesus said, "Everyone that the Father has given me is going to come." Not according to our works. That's hard to get out of some people's heads. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, or the times eternal. What took place here before the world began will carry thee safely into the future when time is no more.